Today on Real Life Radio.
It doesn't matter again if you're a biological parent or if you're an adoptive parent. The fact is, parenting, God has anointed to have that power. It's tremendous. It's ordained by God. A parent has been ordained to be the parent.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Is God more inclusive and sin-friendly than He used to be? Or have we simply lost sight of who He truly is? In The Eclipse of God, Pastor Erwin Lutzer reveals how today's culture has destroyed God's image, making Him more palatable and unrecognizable. This bold book will help you rediscover God's unchanging truth in a world of confusion. This November, Pastor Jack Hibbs is featuring The Eclipse of God, and it's available as our featured resource for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called Life and Bible with a message titled Being a Christian While Being a Parent, Part 2. In Part 1, we learned that as a Christian parent, pointing our kids toward God, it's certainly one of the most important things that we can do. We know them best, so we develop a value system that directs them to living a life, a Christian life, at any age. You see, how parents handle different things in life will certainly form a pattern of response that their children will inherit. This is exactly why teaching them by our example will help create inside of them a more biblical worldview. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that a Christian parent pays real close attention to their kids' interests and steers them in that direction. God made them and cares about them and wants the parent to bring out the best in their personalities. Now, with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Parent, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Who am I in this world in relation to the Bible, and what is God's word to me as a Christian? People are losing hope. But God's word brings us hope, and these things that you and I have, they will fade away. But a life that you and I bring into this world, either through adoption or through birthing, listen, the truth of the matter is, it's our parenting that really matters. And so in Colossians 1 verse 9, it says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's awesome. You have no idea. If you've been born and raised a Christian, you have no idea that wonderful statement in that verse, that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. So many people who are even religious don't even have that privilege to know. Maybe they're in a cult or they don't have a Bible. But God wants you to know what His will is for your life, and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, and He makes you worthy to walk with Him. He's so great. He's the absolute parent. He washes you off. He scoops you up. He cleans you up, and He brings you along, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The knowability that God allows His children to have of Him is awesome. God wants you to know Him, and He's to be known. Don't take that for granted tonight. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. That means Christians. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. In fact, how many of you are Christians? Raise both your hands. I just want to see them up here. That's an awesome look. Let me tell you. He has delivered you. You are not going to hell, says God. That is awesome. He says so. He's made you worthy. He's done all the saving. Again, if you've been messed up in a cult, you don't know what that's like. To have the assurance of salvation, we take it for granted. But you have it tonight. Not because of what we've done, but because of what He has done. That's why we worship Him. That's why we praise Him as we do. So He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, transported us, transplanted us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through, not my blood, His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Last time together, we looked at this first point about being a Christian and being a parent, and that is that we are to be praying and that a Christian parent prays for the wisdom of God to even be a parent. It is overwhelming to think, oh Lord, what is this that's coming into my world, this child? And we pray for our kids. And as parents, we're developing the future of our children as we pray for them. We pray that God's blessings would be upon them. And we think about Abraham. And we think about all the spiritual patriarchs that you and I get to know. We get to read their mail in the Bible. We get to read their diaries and their notes. How they laid their hands on their children and prayed for them and blessed them. Parents, touch your kids. Put your hands on the top of their heads. Grab their shoulders. You say, Jack, my kid's taller than I am. Then reach up there and grab his nose or something and pray for him. There's power in that. Secondly, we looked at as a Christian parent, we search out God's word because we know that we have the opportunity that nobody else on the planet has, and that is to infuse God's plan for our children into their lives. We want to teach them that they will find the answers for their life and the direction for their life in God's word. I love in Israel, they'll have a Bible. And I think this is a great practice. For those of you who have young kids, you ought to start doing this. And they'll take candy, and in the family Bible in the house, they'll take candy and put candy in the pages of the Bible. So the kids, when they're young, always run to the Bible. You say, yeah, but they're running to the Bible to get candy. Hey, you're training them to run to the Bible. They get candy. And isn't it cool? Because out of the word, it says in the scriptures that the Lord's come and taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Jeremiah says, I found God's word and I ate it. And when I ate it, I found out that I'm called by his name and my heart rejoices. Wow. What a great thing. A friend of mine, he's a Yemenite Jew. That is, he's from Yemen, but he's Jewish. And he's from Yemen, and his family having moved to Israel, check this out. In Judaism in Yemen, they take the scriptures and they learn to read the scriptures from childhood all the way up, spinning the Bible around 360 degrees. They learn how to read the Bible from every angle. From 360 degrees, as they turn the Bible around on the table, they learn to read the Word of God because they say God's Word meets us at every angle, every path of our lives. From every angle, you should be able to recognize the Word of God. Is that not cool? Kids love that kind of stuff. And we as parents, we have been given the God-ordained ministry to infuse into our children a Christ-likeness, and that comes from the Bible. God's word. We saw point three last time that as Christian parents, it's our desire to direct our children toward God. We point them toward the Lord. And we talked about being a parent and having your kids see the butterflies and see the heavens above and take chapter and verse, start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, or maybe Psalm 19 and point out to your kids, the heavens declare the glory of God. And let them know that, let them see that. It's exciting. Fourthly, we looked at being a parent regarding as a Christian parent exemplifies the Christian life. Our kids are watching our lives. They're learning much more by and from what we say and do. They put those things together. Little kids are brilliant. Have you noticed that they can't even talk yet? They're still in diapers. They're amazing. And you can say to them, by this time they've just kind of learned how to walk, and you can say to them, Bring daddy the paper. Bring daddy the paper. They can't talk. They can't spell. But what does that little girl or boy go do? They with the noisy, they go over there and you look like they're going to crash and burn any second. And they grab the paper and they come back and you wonder as a parent, how did he know that? What? That's incredible. They're little sponges. And as they get bigger, they're sponges still. I don't mean that in a negative way. Shame on you. Listen to you guys. I meant that in a good way. They're constantly taking in. They're always listening, even when you think, constantly taking in. Where's your mind tonight? All of you need to repent. But they are constantly drawing in. God has ordained the parent's position. And it doesn't matter, again, if you're a biological parent or if you're an adoptive parent. The fact is, parenting, God has anointed to have that power. It's tremendous. And then number five, we looked last time, that it's ordained by God. A parent has been ordained to be the parent. And then number six, where we left off with Wayne's video clip of his life, we looked at number six, a Christian parent knows their child best. Nobody knows your kid like you do as a Christian parent. Now, tonight you might be here and you might be saying, well, I'm not a Christian and I love my kid. I'm not knocking that. God bless you. And that's wonderful. And that's super great. But you'll never understand a true relationship with God, really, and I think, in my opinion, in a deep way, until you'll never understand servanthood and discipleship until you get married. I want to be in the ministry. Get married first, and we'll talk about it later. Serve your wife, serve your husband, then see if you can serve the church. But man, I tell you, when kids come along, people always want to have their expert opinion. And then I always ask them, well, listen, you know, Pastor, I think you should do children's ministry this way. Well, have you ever been involved in ministry before? No. Do you have any children? No. And right then, I just tune it right out. I mean, I might look like I'm listening, but my mind is somewhere else. A parent knows what's best for their kid like nobody else on earth. And we touched on this verse. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's an interesting verse. It's often misquoted and misunderstood. Train up a child in the way that he should go. Some people say, well, I raised my kid in the ways of the Lord, so I know he's saved. Even though he's a bank robber, a murderer, and a rapist, and a mugger, and a thief, I'm sure he's going to come back to Jesus someday. That's not what that verse means. Sorry to burst your bubble. You need to keep praying for your kid if he's wayward from Jesus, because maybe he doesn't know Jesus. The verse means train up a child in the way that he should go. It means that the parent is to study the personality and the characteristic traits of each individual child. Remember last week I said how you can have two kids who come from the same parents and they come from the same spot. I've been in the delivery room. They came from the same spot. And they're completely different people. You think if they came from the same place, you could, hey, we've done this before. Number two is going to be like number one. Are you kidding? How many of you have two or more kids? Raise your hand. Are they not different people? It's almost like God goes, watch this. And he gives you a spitball. Just wham, here comes number two. And it's like, you know, we know how to parent. We raised a kid. Just wait till number two comes along. And then number three, number four, number five. And that's why people keep having kids. It's like, what's coming next? I got to see this. How can people be so different coming from the same spot? Because God is in all that, and not one person's the same when it comes down to the details. It's amazing. And you and I are to study our children. Do you have kids? Study them. What do they love? What are their interests? What are their propensities? What are they leaning towards in this life? Is one more analytical than the other? Is one more auditory of a learner and the other one more of a reader? Know them. And when you know them, then steer them in that direction. Oh, I could go off on this. There was I won't, but I'm close to. There was such a huge debate in early America among our founding fathers in the United States Congress. Did you know this? That they said, you know what? We've got a great concern. The kids are being homeschooled and they're just so smart. But you know what? We fear, by the way, Dr. Benjamin Rush, Benjamin Franklin, and Daniel Webster came up with this idea. And Thomas Jefferson, four of those guys, came up with this idea that I'm going to tell you about. They said, and you can read it, Library of Congress. They said, we have a concern. Kids are being homeschooled and they're brilliant and that's great. But we fear that we're losing control of the kids. And we need to create, listen, a public school system that will require the Bible to be taught in their curriculum. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope this is on film. Do you have this? This is in our founding documents. You can read them in the Library of Congress, that these four founding fathers said, we need to start a public school system to ensure that the Bible is taught in public schools. That's the founding of America, and you don't even recognize it. You have never even probably heard that before. That's how far we've drifted as a nation from God.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And so, with instruction, as you look to that child, as you learn about that little guy and that little girl, steer them in the way that they show interest towards. And for those of you who have the time, you go back and you research the upbringing of some of the greatest scientists, for example, or those who have had a great influence, both positive or negative, in our world. Have you studied? Have you read a little bit? I've read only a little bit, but enough to make me sick. Have you read the upbringing of Saddam Hussein? Have you taken the time to look at how his relationship was with his father? Did you know Saddam Hussein was severely abused as a child? Beaten, molested, abandoned, horrible life. You look at the life of others, say, on the positive side, where a man had a horrible life and would never give up. He was told to persevere. By the way, it just so happens, I'm picking on this guy because he's a great guy, but it just dawns on me that he was a tremendous believer. And I've had a chance to personally, with my own eyes, see his Bible. I couldn't touch it, but I got to see it. I was only about 18 inches away from it. And that's Abraham Lincoln's Bible in Washington. And did you know he learned from the scriptures to persevere? You want to find out, you think you've got hard times? You ought to read the life of Abraham Lincoln. Everything that guy touched turned to nothing. His kids died, his wife died. I mean, his life was a mess. He ran for office, he kept losing. He got sick, he was a mess. He was also famous for being one of the, or if not, the ugliest politician America has ever produced. Did you know that? And one of the candidates running against him, this has nothing to do with the message, I don't know why I'm saying this. One of the candidates running against Abraham Lincoln said, "You know what, I accuse you, Lincoln, of being two-faced." And Lincoln said, "Are you kidding me? If I was two-faced, do you think I'd be wearing this face?" Isn't that a great comeback? What a great line. Well, as we learn from Wayne, it's either surfing that you'll hide yourself into or something else in life, or it's surfing or something else in life that you're developed, that God wants to use in your life. Here we go, picking it up where we left off last time. Now our study begins and then it's almost over. Number seven, a Christian parent forms a God-centric worldview. That's up to a Christian parent to get a hold of your child and to form within them a God-centric worldview. Number one, that God's the creator. Come on out and listen to Ben Stein's movie and find out why that's important. That God made everything, that God made them, that God cares about them. When you tuck them into bed, parents, listen, if your kids are small enough, I say, here's what small enough means to me regarding this issue. If they still live in your house, I don't care if he's 6'9", tuck him into bed tonight. That was great. Tuck him into bed. Listen, he's in your house. If he's living in your house, parent, you can do anything you want with him. If he's eating your food, you got all rights. But he's 45 years old. He's eating your food. You're going to tell him what to do. If he doesn't want to listen to what you want to do, boot the guy out. You tuck him into bed and you tell him, listen right here, right now. God loves you. God designed you. God made you. Now tomorrow get up and go get a job. A God-centric worldview. Your little kids running around. I tell you, you know what, you guys? I don't even know it was this week or I don't, I've been blasted by time and then just going too much. But very recently, in the matter of the last few days, you know, it's been so warm and all this stuff. And I looked out and there were two monarch butterflies mating in our backyard. And I've never seen that happen before. You know, those things are big, for one thing, and beautiful. And I didn't know that when they lock together, they just kind of fall down to the ground, and then they hit the ground, and they break away, and they fly back up, and they do that again. And I saw that. I've never seen that before. So I knew that my daughter Rebecca was over at our house, and I said, "Rebecca! Rebecca!" She comes running in the room. I don't know what she thought. What? I go, "Look at that!" And we stood there and we watched this. I'd never seen it before. She has grown up hearing, "Rebecca, look at that." A God-centric worldview. Listen, you can do it this way simply with your kids. I remember Britt Merrick, he made my Al Merrick, his dad, world most famous surfboard shaper in the world. Kelly Slater uses all of his boards, all that stuff. I remember Britt made my daughter, Ashley, a surfboard. And he said, come on up and pick up this board. And so we drove up to Santa Barbara. And before we drove up there, I said, Lord, show us something really cool today. Now, she was about 18 years old at the time. And I said, Lord, just show us something really cool today. You guys, this is a God-centric worldview. My daughter heard me pray it. I prayed it out loud as we're driving down or driving up, heading out the 101 up the coast. What happened? Tons of dolphins were leaping in the waves and out of the shore that we could see from the 101 highway. And I said, God, thank you for showing something. That's really cool. Parents, start doing that. Yeah, but Jeff, what if God doesn't show us something cool? You know what? Those of us who just got back from Israel, did we not pray that every day on the bus? I'll grab the microphone. Lord, bless our day. Keep us healthy. Keep the driver safe. All this stuff. And show us something cool. And he did every day. From Israeli attack helicopters flying across the desert to storks migrating from Africa up into Northern Europe. We saw it. God does that stuff. Parents, just do it. Show them a God-centric world. It's amazing. 1 Kings 22, 42 to 43 says, now Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shahai, and he walked in all the ways of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from them, doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Did you hear that? Jehoshaphat did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Where did he learn it from? From his father. That is awesome. A child comes into the world and they're like a blank book, and you write on them what you say to them, what you do to them, what you guys experience. Their mind and their soul and their spirit is being imprinted with emotion, pictures, thoughts. Just that smell, as I could smell the hyssop of my Bible from that trip. I told you before, growing up as a kid, my dad, I remember hanging onto my dad's hand as a little kid and smelling his forearms. And whatever he used for soap, if I smell that smell today, it reminds me instantly of where I was at, how little I was in San Diego, of my hanging onto my dad's arm. What about you? Take a smell of something. Or have you heard a song? Immediately. You know how your brain goes back to that place like that? Man, as a parent, we get to instill that kind of stuff in our kids every day. It's awesome. A God-centric worldview we are placing into our children. Tremendous things. Number eight is this: a Christian parent surrenders their child to God. Mom and dad, listen up. This is not going to be comfortable for some of you. A Christian parent must surrender their child to God. Sooner or later, you're going to have to surrender your kid to God. Sometimes, I spoke at our ministry on Monday night here, Seasons of Grief, and you go around that room, you ask people, you find out from people that what is it that they're grieving, what loss is it in their life. This ministry is for those who have lost someone dear to them. And you know, in that room, it's husbands they've lost, wives. Some of them have lost their life partner. Husband married almost 50 years, you know? How do you continue on? And then you come around the room, oh, it's our daughter. We buried our daughter 12 years ago. That shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have to bury your kid. But it happens. It doesn't have to be through death. In most cases, parents, we have to learn to surrender our kids to God. When Ashley was 8 months old, she got sick. Lisa took her to the doctor's office. In Anaheim, she got a shot. We had no idea that our youngest daughter is allergic to much or many forms of antibiotics. And it is the most fantastic moment when you are reminded that you did not create this child. God did. He brought her into the world, and you are faced with this immediate, unrelenting demand of God. She's mine. Let her go. And I remember Lisa and I were praying and we just relinquished. Okay, Lord, you're right. She's yours.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Being a Christian While Being a Parent, Part 2. We're so glad you could spend some time with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible. It's a series on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of the Christian life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Today, more and more Christ followers are living out their faith no matter what. And one way we can help is through our website. At jackhibbs.com/realradio, you'll find access to Pastor Jack's devotions, YouTube channel, podcasts, Facebook, live-streamed events, and so much more. Again, our website is jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. And don't forget to download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.